Welcome to the My Wife is Going to Kill Me podcast.
The podcast where me and my friends talk about the number one thing that makes our wives want to kill us. Toy collecting.
Shut up!
With Travis Bowles.
I am looking at you two fat bastards right now, and I'm like, there's no way people in America are going hungry.
Well, my son told me today that he didn't like hot dogs. How could you not like wieners? You just keep the wieners coming. What any chance?
Pete McCarthy.
Comes with two sets of hands, because sometimes you need gloves, sometimes you don't. The AIDS epidemic in Africa, hunger in the United States, and not having spare hands.
I just want to destroy villages, and that's all I've ever wanted to do.
And your host, Steve Bisciotti.
Chicks love to show their body off. It's the only thing they got nowadays. But she was married to Roger Rabbit, so she had his last name. She obviously wasn't going to hyphenate because she's a real woman.
So what if a favorite toy just happened to be half-naked muscular men? All right, everybody, welcome back to episode Thursday night of the My Wife is Gonna Kill Me podcast. That's right. It's Thursday night as we record this. And we're here. So we're gonna call this episode Thursday night. So, yeah. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be a great episode. For those of you who don't know, I'm your host, Steve Bisciotti. And, as many of you know, I don't do this show alone, so, with me, as always, are the two best co-hosts a host can have. So, let's get to introducing them. First we have Travis Bowles. How you doing, Travis?
Hey, Steve, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Alright. Nice to see you, Trav. And next to him and across from me, we have the ever-gravitational, overbearing, and all-powerful Pete McCarthy. How you doing today, Pete?
Hello!
Hi, Pete. How you doing? Well, let me tell you. I'll tell you what. I just got out of McDonald's, and I asked for fries with no potatoes in them. All right? Is it that hard to do to give me fries with no potatoes in them? I mean, seriously, kids. Just give me the salt. Just pour some salt in a bag. Is that too stupid? These damn millennials, they can't do anything right. Okay, Pete. Yeah, whatever. Trev, you got anything to talk about today?
Nah, not really. Nah, everything's fine. Nah, let's just move on.
Okay. I've been sick. Yeah, I've been sick. And it's been bad. I was told yesterday I might have, like, starts of pneumonia. But I'm still here. Still kicking. And, yeah, so I guess we'll move on. Trav, you got any toy drama?
Yeah, I got some toy drama. I was on Facebook the other day, and let me see here. Here we go. Just a minute here. This is really great. Okay, so yeah. Mike Oxhard said, he's talking to this guy about these toys. And he's like, hey, you ever going to ship my toys? It's in one of these Facebook groups. You got to get in these Facebook groups, guys. You get great deals that way. And he's like, hey, he's talking to this other guy. He must have bought some toys for him. He's like, hey, you ever going to ship my toys? And then the guy answers back, and he's like, yeah, here's your tracking number. So That's it? That's toy drama for this week, Trav? Yeah. What do you think of that? I think that the guy sent him his toys. Yeah, that's what I thought. It was a great thing to talk about. Pete, you got anything to say?
Well, when somebody buys toys from you, you should ship them. I mean, geez. I mean, you pay the guy, PayPal, whatever it is, PayPal, your wife, you know, drugs, vape products. Who cares what the medium is of the actual stuff you're gonna pay with? That's not the important part here. What the important part is he bought the toys. You need to ship them. So, yeah. And I'll tell you what, these idiots, these assholes, these millennials, when you don't ever know what they're gonna do. So I'm just going on and on and on and on. Hey, who's this?
Steven.
Oh, on, man? You caught me?
I understand. I totally understand the fact that you're on the microphone by yourself, but why are your pants off?
Because I'm pretty excited. So, all right, listeners, what's happened here is it's about 10 to 8. We're supposed to record at 7 o'clock. And I've sat here and I'm set up and I was just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. So the other two guys here, they never showed up. And I got to be to bed at a certain time. You know, I'm old. So I just thought I'd start the show without them and just play them. So, I don't know. That was probably pretty stupid, but Pete McCarthy's here now. The real Pete McCarthy. Steven. What's going on? You guys got, was it small town politics? Is that where you've been?
Yeah, unfortunately, there was a potential threat of violence at the high school where some of us work and some of us have children that go to, and they were doing a town hall meeting tonight, and I am reading Facebook the last 48 hours and then sitting in this meeting tonight, I am just thoroughly disappointed with the level of ignorance that exists amongst the parents of the students that my child goes to school with. They have no basis in reality. They don't know. And I get as a parent, Steven, you're a parent, you know, you're obviously, your wife is a parent as well. And, you know, we can say how we react to situations. We can say how we know our significant others would react to situations. People lose their mind when their children's safety is called into question. I totally get it. And I would never fault a parent for that. But the way people are trying to, they're more upset that the school didn't contact them to let them know that the threat was debunked and they didn't feel there was a real threat than they actually are, that the guys got to the bottom of it and realized it wasn't a real threat. It's just, it's a mess. And it's politics and it's small town. And it's, again, when you talk about the kids' safety, people lose their mind. I get that. I want everybody to be vigilant and care about the kids' safety. But I walked out an hour. It's still going right now. So
And Trav is there.
Trav is there, stuck. Yes. And I kind of waited. I didn't think about positioning myself. It was only supposed to go till 7. I positioned myself in a place to where I had to wait till somebody in the far corner asked a stupid question so I could sneak out to not look like I was being rude.
Well, we've already done toy drama.
Perfect.
What was I opened drama? Up. I was going on. I talked about how I've been. I talked to you. I talked to Trav. Trav didn't have anything. And then we did trade drama, and he had some stuff, and then you were just ranting when you came in.
Perfect. What was I ranting about?
It was your opinion on the toy drama.
Oh, okay.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I got that out.
But here we are.
Was toy drama Toys R Us closing?
No, it wasn't. It was bullshit I made up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was,
because that's hitting everybody pretty hard, it seems like.
Yeah, that is. So that sucks.
It does.
Now, you grew up around here.
I did.
But you're not that much younger than me. I didn't have Toys R Us when I was a kid. Toys R Us came around when I was maybe a late teenager.
You know, I think I would be willing to bet that I was probably 12 or 14 when Toys R Us came. So I don't have the Jeffrey Giraffe attachment of going there with my family, and I don't remember ever buying toys anywhere other than Meijer and Big Wheel. You know, we were Meijer people. We always went to Meijer, and that's where I always got my toys. Meijer always had the selection I wanted. And they always had the stuff. They always had a great, huge, full aisle, which we've brought up numerous times of being 8 years old or 6 years old and walking down in the awe of all the, oh my gosh, I've only got $3. Am I going to get another Joe? I really could use a Cobra to go with my this Joe. I really would like this vehicle. Do I wait and get nothing this week and save up for a vehicle next week? Do I want a He-Man? Do I want a GoBot? Do I, you know, and that never happened at Toys R Us for me. The Toys R Us for me has been older, you know?
Yeah.
And, or has been as a parent, because Toys R Us is, you know, a place that you could do layaway. And, you know, as a young family with a couple of kids, it's nice to be able to, you know, go and put some toys on layaway and kind of plan your Christmas.
Did you ever get to go when you were young to Grand Rapids to Toys R Us?
You know what? I cannot recall going to Grand Rapids as a child at all.
Me neither. I did not. I know for a fact because my parents are scared of Grand Rapids.
Well, we never went that far. I remember going to a Tigers game or two. And then we would go up to like Manistee for the weekend and like do like just a hotel with a pool, just kind of a little getaway. But my whole growing up time, I mean, we didn't, because of my siblings, like there's four of us, sports, and you know, my dad was buying a business from his father and was very dedicated to that. And we just, like I said, Grand Rapids was never a place that we went. I remember, you know, Meijer being the farthest we ever drove and going in the car going, oh my God, are we ever going to get there? You know, and now.
Because yeah, back then it was all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, but even. But
15
even
north, miles, maybe, well, probably. Right?
North Muskegon, that's what it felt like from Whitehall. Like as a kid, you're like, oh, we got to go all the way to Meijer. And now it's like you get on the highway, you get off the highway, and you're at Meijer, and you're like, how did this ever take long? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have any Toys R Us memories.
I basically, my memories are the commercials.
Yeah, like some, you know, Jeffrey,
you
want to
be
stuff.
A Toys R Us kid.
Yep.
And
we all wanted to be, we just couldn't afford it.
Yeah, Toys R Us was like this dream. Right. Like, I was like, oh, maybe someday I'll get to go to Toys R Us. And I had a couple of friends who would go to Toys R Us and come back, and you know, because our parents would go to Grand Rapids for, like, Whitecaps games or things like that. My parents never did that.
We used to go to quite a few Whitecaps games.
Mm-hmm.
But really, to get there, you're avoiding Grand Rapids. You know what I mean? Because you get to the Weather Ball and you take a left and you kind of just skirt around. You get into the stadium, you get out, you get back on the highway, and it's... So to me, that was never a Grand Rapids. We never went downtown Grand Rapids. We never spent any time on Alpine. And with Whitecaps game, you didn't go anywhere before or after. You went right there and right home.
Yeah.
You know?
So I guess for me, I look at Toys R Us closing is it represents the last toy store in general. I mean, we had KB. Didn't we have KB in the mall?
There was a KB in the mall, yes.
You know, and there was before that probably two. You probably wouldn't remember this. In the old original mall, there was a small. As soon as you walked out of JCPenney's, you to the right, there was a little toy store. I don't know the name of it. It's one of my earliest memories of actually like a toy store. And there's just now that Toys R Us is gone, there is no toy stores anywhere
unless it's a one off specialty like. Please help me, Indiana. Starts with a K.
Oh, like Kokomo.
Kokomo.
Right.
There's no, that whole idea of that big chain store that was just about toys, you know. Now, the old Muskegon Mall, for those of you guys that don't know, was Western Avenue. It was a road in Muskegon that they covered and made a big mall, and it was awesome. It had a huge fountain in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You could go Schlotzky sandwiches.
That's where you went and saw Santa Claus.
Yeah, that's where the Easter Bunny.
Yeah,
you know, that's where you went when you needed sporting equipment. You went to MC Sports. You know, when you needed a bong, you went upstairs at Insanity's. I mean, that was the place to go. And I remember loving going to the mall. And I remember it closing. And they actually went in reverse, because what they did was they tore it down, tore the roof off, tore it down, and then they made it back into Western Avenue.
Yeah.
So, which was, I always thought was kind of strange, but I don't remember there being, I mean, there had to have been a toy store there, but I don't recall it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It wasn't there long. And, it might've been there long before but it wasn't there long in my life, I should say.
Right.
But, you know, but what do you think? What's your predictions, though? Now that Toys R Us is gone, what's this going to mean for toy collectors and the whole thing?
Well, it depends on what toy collectors you're talking about, because realistically,
you're talking about us,
right? Well, but when you say us, toy collectors like us, for Steve and Pete and Travis, what does it really change for us?
Not much.
How much did you truly buy at Toys R Us in the last 2 years?
Not much.
Not much
at all. But now this has to be said. Our Toys R Us sucked.
Right.
Even the Toys R Us we did have, but never had what Grand Rapids had.
But that's, and that's what I mean.
Right.
This is, in my opinion, this is a devastating blow to a Kyle Moore, to a Jason Boonstra, to a Joe Crazy Bill. Those guys that were making the rounds and hitting Toys R Us's, that had the huge variety, that had the back stock, that had the toys that we wanted, you know. So it's different. Yes, us, as toy collectors, as adult collectors, but geographically, it's not going to make much of a difference for me. Now, those guys, that's a Saturday afternoon every other week that they're losing because they can't go hunt those stores anymore. You know,
I wonder how much this is going to affect the big, you know, the Mattel, the Hasbro. And I don't have the proper knowledge to back this up. I would love to know, you know, how much of their income was Toys R Us sales, you know, or is everybody switched so much to Amazon and Hasbro Direct that it really is a non-issue?
You know, I have to think that there was some sort of writing on the wall for these big toy companies, because if you look at the, I believe there's 800 stores closing in the U.S. Is that an accurate figure, do you recall?
I believe it's something like that. Yeah, you're close.
So 800 stores, all right? Now, how many of those stores are an Alpine in Grand Rapids versus are a Harvey in Muskegon? Because the Harveys in Muskegon, those type of stores, let's say it's even 25%. So 200 of those stores haven't been stocking Joe's. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen Joe's in forever in our Toys R Us. The Marvel Legends they have, they'll get one wave of the new one, and everything else are old purple Hawkeyes and Valkyries with a Hulkbuster arm. You know? So I would be
that are full price.
That are full price still. You're absolutely right. I would be willing to bet that these companies have seen the writing on the wall. They saw this happen long before we did, because we saw our Toys R Us start to dip. They saw 200 Toys R Us stores start to dip. Online, Amazon, Walmart.com now. Walmart is coming after Amazon. I mean, they make no bones about the fact that they are going to compete with Amazon. That's what they're trying to do. Walmart wants to take over everything. I'm pretty sure at some point you will go to Walmart to have your baby, okay? but what is going to happen? That's my first question. Is I'm in the infancy of my Joe collecting as an adult. I'm less than a year in. What's going to happen to Joe's? Am I going to be able to get them at Target? Am I going to be able to get them at Meijer? Are they going to open it up? Are they going to look for another exclusive distribution? Are they going to go online only? What's going to happen with that? Because I like to know. I liked going and looking at Joe's in the store. That was cool for me. And then our Toys R Us let us down, obviously. But are we going to get that back?
Even when Hasbro was releasing stuff, I mean, Hasbro hasn't released anything in a year or more.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I apologize then, listeners. And
but
Steve,
even was, when even right. when we did have those 50th waves, right. our store sucked, and they had a glimpse of them. That last time that I believe when they had the Jets, they had the black Skystriker, I believe, and they had a vehicle. We didn't get any of those vehicles.
We
didn't get any, you know, you had, we picked them up at other Toys R Us's on the way to other toy shows.
Yep.
And did stuff like that, and so. Yeah, even when G.I. Joe was being produced and supposed to be at Toys R Us, it wasn't at Toys R Us for
us. For us, right. I guess I was under the impression that our Toys R Us was just being shitty and they weren't getting them in. I didn't realize that Hasbro hasn't dropped any.
Hasbro hasn't done anything, and Hasbro, I don't know what Hasbro's going to do. I mean, this is the last JoeCon coming up.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, the whole...
Are we concerned?
Yeah, you know, well, I mean, I think
for the future of Joe,
I think so. I think everybody is, but you know,
that's just like me to jump onto something a year before it goes away. You know,
I mean,
I should get on
for you. It's not going to go away though. There's so many Joes.
Right.
You could collect for 10 more years.
I feel like I should jump on the bandwagon of like the Super 7 He-Man, knowing that that's probably only got a year left or so.
That's perfect. Yeah, do that.
You know, because of all their problems and flaws, that for some reason you still keep going back to them. So. I'm going to call you all right now. Did you delete my post off Podcasters the other day?
No.
About that?
About what?
About you going back to Super 7 even though they mucked up another face and you being essentially like a battered woman.
I did not do anything.
Okay.
If anything was done, it's Jeremy that did it, okay. And I don't think he would.
Right. I went back and I didn't see it. I'm like, that son of a bitch deleted my post. Because it was really funny. Because it was essentially about you're basically like a battered woman, and no matter what Super 7 does, it's always going to be because they loved you, or they were drinking, or they're trying to get their problem under control, and you were going to stay with Super 7, even though they're screwing up your packaging and they're giving you dented heads. And so,
but. Yeah. Well,
at any rate, so... It's definitely a hit to the toy community, in varying degrees for the different collectors. But you know, even Travis was that guy that was twice a week Toys R Us.
Oh yeah,
was walking out with bagfuls, and he, you know, he just gets on and gets it from Big Bad Toy Store or
yep.
You know, Entertainment Earth, or he just gets on, and because of the lack of reliability of our Toys R Us. We quit buying things there because when they did have the few things we wanted, we already had them. Because we ordered them offline because we know Big Bag Toy Store is going to go through. You know, Toys R Us, it might as well be Diamond as far as reliability goes. Yeah. You know, so.
Well.
Man, oh, man.
All that being said, it's an end of an era. Mm. That's what it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, yeah. Anyways. So what do you think? You think Travis is going to make it?
I would be willing to bet that we are going to get a text from Travis that says not going to make it. That would be all right. That's my knee-jerk reaction. So,
all right. Well, we'll just adapt.
We'll just adapt.
We'll adapt like the Marines, except a lot fatter and stupider.
With that being said,
yeah.
Jump on. Thanks, UPS guy.
Yeah.
You got some stuff set up. It looks awesome. Why don't you tell us about it, Steven?
Well, I actually got this piece here. This is my latest Transformers Masterpiece.
Okay, I thought that was a GoBot.
Well, I mean, the new GoBots look so cool that...
Because one of the things we talked about Transformers to GoBots, especially for... I'm an untrained eye. I think our listeners know that at this point, that I am an untrained eye. The detail in the feet and the hood, that screamed GoBot to me because... When we looked at those cars, when a GoBot is in its car form, it looks like a die-cast car that you would buy.
Mm-hmm.
That to me says, hey, well done. I thought it was one of the new GoBots.
Oh, okay. Well, this is very well done, but this is a Masterpiece Edition Transformer. So
okay.
High-end
okay.
As far as Transformers go.
What's high-end? Just mouth it to me so Cordy doesn't hear.
No, I can tell you in this one because okay. I got a great deal. Okay. Travis got this in a lot.
Oh,
recently. Perfect. So I paid him $40 for this.
Oh, cool.
But I think new that was probably $60 or more, $70 maybe. Okay. Now, for those of you at home, we're talking about Silver Streak here. He's an older...
Looks like a Porsche 911, I would assume?
It is not. He's a Nissan.
Oh, you know, like a 250Z?
I don't even know. It's an 80s car. These are all... The cool thing about these Masterpiece pieces that I like so much is they're based on the 80s cartoon. So they're those... They're those foreign 80s cars, those Nissans and everything, because right. Transformers came from Japan, so they did a lot of foreign cars. And this is just, he's very cool. And I think I've talked about this, and I did definitely talked about these with the modern updated GoBots. It's the articulation that is just so fun on these. You can pose these as well as I can pose just about any other toy that's out there. They transform into a really cool looking car, and it looks, you know, like it should. That's actually licensed by Nissan. They actually put its name on this. The car is so, you know, like it should be when it's in the car mode. Totally not something you could give to Pearson to transform. It's probably about 170 steps to getting it here.
I wouldn't even attempt it.
So. And I can't, and the instructions don't do it for me. Now, this is a good example of what the sort of stuff that we might miss out on with Toys R Us. This is a Toys R Us, was a Toys R Us exclusive.
Okay.
They're
$80 is what you're looking at to buy it brand new. So that is a screaming good deal.
Yeah.
And now, apparently, this is a variant of the MP18 Blue Streak, known as Silver Streak. Do you know the backstory on that?
So all I know, and everybody knows that listens to this show regularly, knows I don't think any of us here are really good Transformers guys.
Right.
But what I get out of it is he was called Blue Streak, but as you look at him, he's got no blue on him.
Right.
So at some point, they called him Silver Streak. I don't know if Silver Streak came first or Blue Streak came first, but they're the same character as far as I can tell.
Normally, though, in the world of toys, in the world of comics, the word variant typically means more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, normally that's a lower run production. Normally, it's a little bit more highly sought after. So, I mean, definitely a cool piece.
So yeah, and like I was saying, so Takara Tomy makes these masterpieces. They must be the Japanese company that puts these together. They make the molds, and then Hasbro gets a hold of them a couple of years later, and they were releasing them in Toys R Us as exclusives. Now, so to get them directly from Takara Tomy, you're going to pay more. You always pay more. And then it was kind of cool. I thought it was a cool deal that Toys R Us would get them. And, for instance, the Takara Tomy MP10 Optimus Prime. They make that mold. I believe that thing is like $200 or more to get it straight from Takara Tomy. A couple of years later, they must work. They obviously work with Hasbro. Hasbro gets the same access to the same molds and basically throws the same exact thing out into Toys R Us as an exclusive for $100.
Oh yeah,
you know. So it gives us Americans that chance to pay less and everything else. Now,
if you want to be the snob, you can spend the $220 or whatever it is to get it. But there's an option for the guy who's a little bit lighter of the wallet and maybe the Takara side of things doesn't mean anything to him.
Right. So. And from my experience or my limited, all of a sudden kind of been going crazy with these lately and trying to research as much as I can tell, there's very, very minor differences between the Takara version. It might be like a shade. I know that the MP10 Optimus, I believe the Toys R Us version, the blue on him's a little brighter. It's darker on the Takara version. I think those are the only, you know, there might be these experts out there that are probably listening to us are probably saying, "You idiot, you didn't know his finger was different."
Right.
But I don't know.
The old Dana Carvey stand up, Mega Cho, Mega Chi, Mega Chai, Mega Chu. You got to buy them all five of the Transformer figures because each finger's bent differently. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Anyways, these things are a blast. I like them, and I you know, if you ever kind of wanted to get into these, the Transformers, and you have a soft spot for the 80s, I don't know, they're worth the money.
And realistically, to me, too, watching Diamond, they're pumping them out. You know what I mean? They're still and again, it might be movie related figures, but there's always new, the shelves are always stocked at the stores with various sizes and styles of Transformers. And so I mean there's a lot of fodder to get your hands on, and you can really, you know, you obviously, again, you're looking for the nostalgia, the Grimlock from the movie that you hated, you don't care about, but you want that silver Grimlock that was in the cartoon in the 80s, where the Datsun or not Nissan, whatever it is that you remember from the cartoon. You want the Optimus Prime that you don't care about, the Optimus Prime that's blue with the red flames that looks absolutely gorgeous. You want the square front,
I want flat a cab,
front,
over.
Cab over style. Yes. You know, that's your Optimus Prime. Just like in anything else, you know, well, this, you know, he's not my president. Well, he's not my Optimus Prime, you know, so.
Exactly. So, all right, and then this is fun. We talked last time on the show about how I just took Travis's Landspeeder, Star Wars Black, Luke Skywalker. It's his Landspeeder was in. Travis had that San Diego Comic-Con exclusive, and I did grab that from Travis, and it's displayed beautifully in a nice box and everything else. And then like 2 days later, Amazon throws the regular, Amazon.com throws the regular store release on Amazon.com for $20. Now, this is usually a $60 piece. I've seen it around, actually I haven't seen it around here anywhere but Best Buy. And Best Buy had it for the full $60, and I passed. I've never saw it in our Toys R Us. I've never seen it in any of our other stores around here. So for $20, I had to just grab it.
Oh yeah,
I mean it's really cool.
Now your exclusive is unopened, correct? That's
just
in the box.
Yes, okay. And
for $20 to have a piece that you can set even near it that's out of the box, duh.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. So, really cool. It really...
What the hell? He looks like he's going golfing. What the hell is that bucket hat? Did he actually wear a bucket hat in the movie?
No. He's got like a Daisy May hat.
And like a safari hat.
Yeah, with goggles.
Yeah.
And that is from a deleted scene.
Oh, okay.
They just kind of threw it in there. And you know, there's
there's some fun for a hardcore Star Wars guy. There's some fun in that hat.
Yeah, and I believe in a lot of like the storybooks when I was a kid, they would show scenes of him from the deleted scenes that never made it in the movie, and you'd be like, "What the heck's he wearing?" Right. You know, but he's pretty well outfitted. He comes with his hat and the
figure came with the land speeder, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yep. And he comes with this poncho, which is also from that deleted scene. I'm not sure if he ever wore that. I kind of want to say there is a scene where he wears this.
The poncho seems familiar to me.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And then he has his long gun that he gets off on the side of the speeder when he sees when he's looking for R2. And then he's got his like techno binoculars. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it's cool. It's got a little compartment in the back so you can actually store some of this stuff.
You don't want your hat to blow off while you're land speeding.
No.
You know?
No. No, you don't. So, and I mean, it's just really well done here. I mean, you got nice engine compartment. Oh, it's got some really good detail.
The hood actually opens and the paint apps aren't elaborate on the hood, but they do. There's some different colors, some definitions to at least highlight some of the parts. Looks like a battery cables or wiring is offset from the rest of it. And
yeah, so size is good. The Luke figure is very much like the other release. It does have a different head sculpt, which isn't bad.
But it's not good either.
No, I mean,
comparison to the Luke heads we've seen.
It's not great. I think it was made probably to accommodate putting that hat on. Is probably what
had to maybe thin out the top of the head a little bit.
Yeah. And you know, he's got the cloth goods robe. He fits in there great. You can put C-3PO in there with him or Ben. I know it's kind of difficult to get Ben in there with him, but I've seen people put all four characters. I've seen them have Ben sitting next to him and C-3PO back here with his legs in here and R2-D2 laying down just like there's that scene in A New Hope. So
can we address the elephant in the room?
What's up?
What the hell is the point of a windshield that's below your chin?
Well, you see aerodynamics, that stuff will just keep going. It'll fly right up over your head.
Yeah, that's horse shit. In the movie, is his head above the windshield like that?
I don't know. I don't know.
We're going to the Google.
Let me see. Maybe I can lean him back and see if I can get it down there a little lower. But anyways, I actually think this piece is pretty cool, especially for $20.
Like we
said, if you're a Star Wars Black collector, to throw this in, it takes up some space, but it's very cool. So that's it for me for Thanks UPS Guy. Travis probably would have had some stuff.
Most likely.
You probably don't.
I actually do.
You do? Awesome. I'm so excited.
You shouldn't be. Oh. You're going to be pretty disappointed. I told Steven this a couple of weeks ago. I've been on this kick lately of fun socks. So I had gotten an email from Loot Crate, and you guys know we get a Loot Crate here on the show, and of course I keep all the shit because I pay for it, whatever. But they give emails of stuff that didn't go out, and you can go on and purchase some of the items that are exclusive that they just had spares of.
Okay.
Well, I jumped on there, and they had four different pairs of socks for like $1.98 a pair of socks. I'm like, where do you get a nice pair of socks for $1.98? So I'm going to lift my leg up and show just the pair that I'm wearing right now to Steven. Some kick-ass reverse flash bright yellow socks. Oh, boy.
Those are nice.
I got a very cool Jay and Silent Bob pair that they're all dressed like different superheroes.
Really?
Like 8-bit style, you know?
Oh, sweet.
I got a Baby Groot in his Ravager costume.
Okay.
That takes up the whole sock. And then I got a cool, it's got five colored rings with each of the Voltron lions on them. So,
nice.
Like, shoot, for $1.98 a piece. And then there was one of the things about the loot crates is they always pretty much do a great job on the shirts, but their pins are always pretty cool as well. I got a pin that it would not have been a normal loot crate pin, but it was one that came in a box that actually has two posts, and it is a just silver sculpted, and it's probably about the size of a half dollar, and it's the Hydra logo for 99 cents or something stupid. And I'm
sweet.
Like, it'll be perfect, you know, to take like just a blank ball cap and then put it, you know, put it right here on the front of it. It'll pop right in there, and I think it just look kind of cool. So, but I picked that up. So I spent like $11 and I got four pairs of socks and a cool pin. They had some awesome Power Rangers lounge pants that had, it was just all just, from a distance, it looked like just colored dots in a pattern, but when you got up close, it was all their helmets, you know? But they sold out just before I bought, but yeah, so I got a little bit, like I said, nothing real major, but I did tell my wife, we did have a conversation yesterday. We were driving, and I said, you know, I really need to start getting some toys. I haven't bought anything in a while. I said, you know, it's embarrassing constantly getting on the show and not having anything, and she encouraged me to buy some things, and I looked, and I ended up hitting Walgreens over by what I would call Stevens Walgreens there.
All right, yep.
The corner of M120 and Getty, I believe.
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
And they had the Medusa, which I've been wanting that figure, but I passed on it. And they had a couple of the Netflix, you know, the Punisher and the Daredevil that I've been wanting, but I just decided to wait. But I do have some toys coming this next week from Diamond that I'm excited about.
Okay, cool.
Unfortunately, it's not anything we haven't talked about or seen, because I'm, you know, again, I use Diamond, so I'm 8 months behind everybody else. But so cool to add stuff to my collection. But
awesome.
Yeah. So what do you think, Trav, would have had anything cool? Well, run it down. Let's do three guesses. Something that was generic bullshit that nobody wanted that he's going to repurpose for Mythic Legions. That's one.
Mm.
What do you think?
Something that he got in a lot that he's not even going to keep, and he's just bringing in here like it's actually like going to be his or something, and then talk about it.
Yes. Yep, I would agree to that.
Yeah.
So.
And then the third is a gimme, which he's also going to... Well, he's actually going to keep a couple of these, but he got his... he also ordered the Super 7 He-Man stuff.
Did you get to the bottom of that face? Is that an Epidemic, or is that just yours?
No. And that was Jeremy's, not mine. The messed up face,
that was
Jeremy's.
Maybe.
And he's the only example that we've seen of that.
Well, damn it. I knew that you weren't abused by a domestic partner. Maybe he had an ex-girlfriend that used to beat him up or something. Maybe I hit a nerve with that post. It was directed at you. I was saying that to you. I assumed it was you, but if it was Jeremy, maybe I upset him. I should text him and let him know that I wasn't hard feelings.
I don't think he gets upset that easy.
No, I know. But.
Speaking of Jeremy, he's pumping out some good art. I've been seeing some things.
The few things he's sent me, he's banging it out from a ski con, man. So, speaking of which, March 24th next week. Super excited. I'm trying not to. It's little things. It's little things that you see. I mentioned this to Steven last night. You know, I look back on the event last year on Facebook, and people click going, interested, whatever. And I don't take it. I don't take any of that to heart, because I mean, life happens, and I just don't. You know, I don't think it means anything. And I don't think there's a correlation. But I was intrigued to see that last year, you know, where our attendance was, you know, at 1,200 or so, versus having 800 people interested on the event. This year, we're at almost 2,400 people are interested in the event. So, I mean, again, I can't say there's a direct correlation and that means this many people are going to show up or anything like that, but it does beg the question of, obviously, there's some more exposure there. Obviously, there's, you know, if three times the amount of people have taken a second to click interested, it's in those people's minds, you know what I mean? So that was really, I thought, kind of neat. But
awesome. That is cool. I'm excited. I can't wait. And it's going to be... I think it's good. I think I just got a feeling that you're going to have some problems this year, and the problems are going to be too many people. It's just kind of in my gut. I mean, it might not happen, but we'll see.
I've had one problem thus far. There was a vendor who did not respond, an artist that didn't respond. to my email. For those of you that don't know, I think I've mentioned this before, people took a chance on me last year. The vendors put themselves out there. They paid money to show up to an event. They trusted me to get people in the door and make it worth their while. Because of them giving me that chance, taking a chance on me, I offered all of them first right of refusal to their exact spot for year two. Because I think that's the right thing to do. And I think that's, and it's not only, I mean, obviously it's kind of a con practice as well, but I made it abundantly clear to them that, you know, I wanted them to return and that I would do everything I could to keep them and what have you. I only had three people not return. Two of them were for very valid reasons that were beyond their control. Totally understand it. No hard feelings. And I had one artist. Well, that one artist didn't see the email or something happened and reached out to me and I said, hey, I'm sorry, I'm already full. I sent out an email 2 months ago, and in my defense, everybody else got the email because everybody else said either yes or the two people that said no. But again, it could have been a fluke, could have been a spam thing. I apologize. I said, I'm sorry. I'll put you on the wait list if something opens up. Unfortunately, something didn't open up. So she was without a spot. Well, I released the vendor list and artist list, and I did a good job removing the vendors' names that weren't going to be there, did all of my additions, changed it around. I forgot to pull her name. So I posted it, and then I got a message, hey, is this true? And I said, I am very sorry. I just screwed up. That's my fault. I don't have a spot for you. Fortunately, you know, she already is scheduled to work that day, you know, so it wasn't like it was a big thing, but I felt bad because mm-hmm. the last thing I want to do is give somebody false hope, you know?
Right.
But I cannot imagine, if it's anything like my kids. First one, not a problem. Everything went smooth. Second one, we're going to have some drama. So I'm just gearing up to try to, there's going to be probably 20 people there in a staff capacity, in shirts, looking legit, you know, trying to help out vendors. I've got numerous compliments already from the
looking
email.
Looking legit with a Ninja Turtle staff on their back.
Right, which is awesome. Right. You can't tell me that's not awesome. So, you know, I got some good positive feedback from the vendors that all thought it was really neat what I was doing with the box lunches and being able to, you know, get them food and having people to cover their booth for bathroom breaks, smoke breaks, whatever. So that's already been a pretty positive response to those additions. And so, again, I'm looking forward to it. And it's one of those things where we'll deal with the problems as they come, you know. And having too many people is a bad thing because you don't want that. But at the end of the day, that's a great thing.
It's a problem. You know? It's not the worst problem to have.
No, it's not. You know?
I'd rather have that than no people.
And realistically, too, we're in a place where MuskieCon is not a show that you go and spend the whole day at. You know, it's just, it doesn't have that size. You know, you can realistically go and you can see everything and you can truly meander and talk with the vendors, stop and compliment an artist or ask them about a piece they did. You could get, you know, you could get food, you could take some pictures, you could take another loop through and you're out in an hour and a half. You know, so it's very open house style. And with it only being $5, there's no, man, I spent $30 for this pass. Right. I'm going to get my money.
I'm staying all day, damn it.
Yeah, yep. So I think, you know, and look into the future. I don't know what the future holds. This is year two is going to make or break me. Because realistically, if nobody shows up this year, I'll probably try it again next year in the same way. But if a lot of people show up, I've got a big decision to make, and is that, do I move to a new venue? And there's a lot that goes along with that. And it's, you know, so there's definitely some anxiety on my part, but realistically, at the end of the day, there's only so much I can do.
Right.
And I've got some t-shirts that are going to be able to be sold. And if at 10:30 there's 100 people outside in line, I'm going to go out and start tossing t-shirts to people and apologizing my ass off. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but.
Gotcha. Well.
What about you? New art prints? You got anything new coming for us?
Yeah, I've been working on some stuff. Yeah, I've got a few things that I've drawn actually a while ago, but I haven't been to any new shows, so they've never been seen. And then there's a couple things I'm working on. There's one that, there's a Lion-O print I'm working my ass off on. And I'm trying to pull off this effect with the, you know, he uses a sword to put the signal up into the air.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pull off this effect where the signal's out in front of him. So he's like shooting the signal at you and he's kind of behind it and everything's in red light and everything. And it's really, I'm just trying to get it just right. But, hey. Got a phone call. I think on the line here we got hello.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, hello. I got a phone call from this line earlier.
You did.
Yeah.
Okay.
May I ask who's speaking?
Yeah, this is Steve Bisciotti from the My Wife Is Gonna Kill Me podcast.
Oh yeah, those guys in Muskegon.
Yeah, that's us.
Whitehall area. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here with Pete McCarthy.
Okay. Yep. He owns Cloud Nine Vapor Vape Shop or something like that.
Yes. Also the Cloud Nine Studios.
Okay.
And we were just talking about his con he's going to be having in a couple weeks here.
Oh yeah, Random Muskegon. Yeah.
Yeah, random Muskegon toy and comic extravaganza.
Yeah, sounds really cool.
So hey, I heard.
Is there anybody else there with you, or is it just you two?
It's just us two.
Okay, so the deputy isn't there.
No.
Okay,
not here. So okay. Hey,
yeah.
For those of you at home, this is Matthew Rodriguez, and he has actually got a Kickstarter going on right now. Right, Matt?
Yeah, hey, yeah, I do.
Can I be sappy for a minute, Matthew? Is that okay? Can I get sappy?
Hey, if you want to, big guy, you may.
I'm sitting back, and as somebody who I consider myself a creative mind like yours, yep. And I see other creative people, and I'm surrounded by all these creative people who are starting to make their dreams a reality, and they're actually pursuing these passions. And I want to say to you, I just think it's absolutely awesome that you have taken this from that idea nagging at the back of your head through all of the steps to the point of where you have a Kickstarter where you have an actual comic and a story and characters. The story, I don't know a lot about it yet, but the world looks to be very, very cool and very original. The art is absolutely beautiful. And I know that you are not technically the artist yourself, but I know the design and the color schemes and how everything got put together was a lot of you. And at the risk of sounding weird, I'm so proud of you that you took it beyond this. There's so many people that sit back and have these ideas that are a flash in the pan and don't follow through. And for you to have taken it to where you are now, I just think that's really cool, and I admire you for doing that, man.
Hey, you know, honestly, I really appreciate it. It's been a long time coming, and I think that, you know, this process has been, obviously, it's been a very cool learning curve for me personally. A lot of your listeners might not know, but I do actually, I have one failed Kickstarter under my belt, actually from a few years back, and it actually was for the same thing. It was for my Defenders of Eden comic. I was not connected in the industry as much as I am now, as far as just comics and artists and everyone around toy collectors and just people that are familiar with this world. But I bit off more than I could chew. I had some staction, you know, these statue action figures made of a couple of my characters, and I said, hey, this is how much all these toys are going to cost. This is how much all these comics are going to cost. I want to raise $5,000. And it was a cool project, but I went in blind. And this time around, I figured, you know what? I'm going to have the book completely done, so I have sort of that in my back pocket. I can say, hey, guys, you're not supporting just an idea in the back of my mind. You're supporting a fully completed issue one with all 24 pages done. And so with that, I think we had a lot of people that were interested in the fact that, hey, I want to hop on this. It's already done. I want to get that first edition exclusive Kickstarter print. So, you know, for me, a lot of my friends are like, wow, that's cool. You already raised 100%. That's awesome. And me clicking on submit and, like, finally launch the Kickstarter this second time around, I had butterflies because I already had one failed. So in my mind, I'm thinking, you know what? That would really suck if I went 0-2 on the same freaking story. So, but yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate your kind words. So,
well, Defenders of Eden first edition print Issue number one, Matthew Rodriguez, 146% funded at this point. 48 people have contributed. You still got 20 days to go. And I just, that's awesome, man. And I did notice the failed Kickstarter when I was searching for this one. I did see that you had tried a few years ago, and I didn't know that. But that just, again, that I think that kind of speaks to, hey, okay, this didn't work. Why didn't it work? Did it not work because it was a bad idea? Well, no, it didn't work because you didn't feel like you had the reach. You weren't in the right community. You didn't have potentially enough of the product to share your vision. So you went back, literally back to the drawing board and completed all of that and then brought it back. And then it was funded, what, the next day? 2 days later?
It was funded the next day. And the cool thing was I had some, I'll plug out, send a plug out to a guy up in your area, actually. His name's Gary Scott Beatty, and he's an old school pro in the industry. He does a lot of lettering and coloring. He's out of Muskegon. And, I said, yeah, this amount is what this comic book is going to cost me, what I have to pay my artist to do it. And I'm nervous about wanting to raise that amount. And he said, it's called Kickstarter. He said one of his good friends told him, it's called Kickstarter. It's not called fund my comic. So he said, what if you just try to raise like half of what it costs you and you know, maybe recoup that other half when you're out on the con circuit selling it. And when he told me that, it all of a sudden the light bulb went off and said, yeah, you know, what if this is just a way to kind of recoup some of my funding, recoup the printing cost, you know, and then, you know, maybe eventually I'll get in the green. But for now, having it printed, issue one, yeah, it's really cool. And I won't have any at your, as the random Muskegon, I won't have any at that show up there in Muskegon, but the official Kickstarter ends, I want to say, a week and a half after your show, so I'll only be there with some prints and some mini comics and hopefully shake a lot of the people's hands there and introduce them to the world of Eden, so.
Right, you know, and that name, Gary Scott Beatty, I've actually heard that name before. Somebody actually reached out to me on Facebook and said, hey, one of the artists that I have coming to the show, they said, hey, just so you know, so-and-so isn't the only accomplished comic in Muskegon. There's this guy. And I said, oh, well, thank you very much. But no real contact information or no, you know, it was just kind of an out of the blue comment. And now that you say that, you know, if him being from Muskegon, I wish I would have maybe taken that comment a little bit more seriously and reached out to him. And I definitely, you know, a local Muskegon guy, how do I have a Comic-Con without a guy who's doing comics right in Muskegon? I'll have to utilize you to hook us up next year. Maybe I can get him to come out to the show for 3.0.
And you know what? I can send him an email, too. I'm not sure if you have any random tables that have opened for your con, but there's a possibility maybe I could share a table with him, because honestly, he's a really cool guy. He, like I said, he's an old school pro and he knows a lot about the industry. So can I have a little contest with your listeners real quick? Can I just say something?
Please do.
I want to say that if you have any backers, if you have any listeners that choose to back Defenders of Eden at any level, whether it be $1 or the highest, whatever you want to do, you pick out a certain amount, and if that many people send a screenshot of their backing of Defenders of Eden to you guys at your page behind the scenes, I will do one of three things on live on your show. I will either A, lick one of your nipples.
Okay, when you say your, does that mean one of our, like one of the three of us, or you're going to lick one of each of our nipples?
No, the listeners will have to pick out which of the three of you I have to lick their nipple.
Okay.
I don't have any. That was my only suggestion. I mean, I guess if you guys have any more.
Oh, easy. Easy, you I'd say the second one is you have to lick Quado, Travis's rupture.
No, but it can't be lick.
Okay, what does he got to do to it then?
It got
to
be
kiss it.
It's got to be more.
What if I put my balls on it?
Well,
Is that too graphic for your listeners?
We don't want to do something that Travis would enjoy.
Right, right.
Oh, that's true.
And
that's
besides, true. You did that last week anyways without the Kickstarter. Oh man, I feel really on the spot right now, Matthew.
Well, I feel like I can say this. Your people, your listeners, if they do back me, they need to write in their little section when they say, "Hey, this is the picture of me backing Rodriguez. This is what I want him to do live on your show."
Okay, and I got one. I got one that's
aside from there.
I got one that's totally appropriate for you.
Yeah.
One of us will have to wear a pair of jeans while you cut them into shorts.
Ooh.
At any length.
I feel necessary.
I mean, that's a Matthew Rodriguez thing right there.
I like that.
Yeah. So there we got two things.
That's two things.
I'm not cutting them with my teeth, though. I actually have scissors.
Oh, we'll give you the device.
Yeah, we'll give you a device of some type.
Okay.
I feel like there needs to be something with your fedora.
Okay.
So, and maybe you sit down for an interview with us, and that's all you get to wear. Headphones and a fedora.
Headphones and a fedora.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
So,
I love you guys, and this is going to sound really weird coming from me, but I'm walking into a bar right now, so.
Oh, you got it's open mic night tonight, isn't it?
It is, but hey. Wow, you guys, you're like family to me, I have to tell you. I've only told a couple people. My voice hasn't been right for like 3 months, so I actually am going to have vocal cord surgery shortly. So,
wow.
Just thought I'd let you guys know that. I'll send you the picture. It literally looks like a vagina, and then it's got a ball sack growing on my vagina.
Really?
So is this one of those pitch perfect moments? Like, yeah. I am living with nodes. I have nodes. But I'm a survivor. So, well, hey, man, best of luck to you with that. And keep us posted, man. That's, I'm hoping it's minimally invasive. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's down the throat.
Down the throat. Yeah, it's a hell of a lot longer stretch to go up the butt to get to the vocal cords. So.
That is true.
But, what is the anticipated recovery time on something like that?
4 days of no talking, a couple weeks of minimal talking, and then a month and a half or two with some speech therapy and different things like that.
Holy shit. By day two, your head's going to explode.
Oh, you know me.
Yeah. Well, that's like I've told the story before when I tore my rotator cuff. I'm such a hand talker, I had to be in a sling, and I felt like I had a speech impediment. Like, I couldn't talk right because I couldn't use my right arm to move it around. I can only imagine what it's like for vocal cords, man.
Yeah.
So, your wife is going to be, like, in seventh heaven, dude.
Oh, you have no idea.
Oh, what? That you don't want me to do that, Matthew? All you got to do is speak up. Well, fine, I'm going to do it then.
Winning arguments will be a part of the past.
Right.
All right, Matt. Well, it sounds like you got your head in somewhere, so we can let you go.
All right.
But make sure you check it out, guys. Defenders of Eden.
Call. Did you guys call me or did I call you?
It doesn't matter. We connected.
All right.
God meant that to happen.
That's what truly matters.
That's what it matters. So, yeah, listeners, back Defenders of Eden. Go to Kickstarter. It's pretty cool. It's kind of Motu-y. It's awesome. Is there anything else you want to say before you leave, Matt?
I just hope that you load it fast enough for your listeners to back it. So,
well, it's okay because I talked about Defenders of Eden last night on Podcast of the Universe, and that's already up. So,
okay. Well, then we're good.
Okay. So,
all right, guys.
All right, have a good night.
Take care, Matt.
Yep, we'll see you, buddy. Yippee.
All right.
I actually asked him to come up tonight and plug it in person, but tonight was a late night for him at the office, so he politely declined, but. We did receive official word that Travis is not going to make it.
Right.
Which, again, wasn't surprised by that. But are you reading anything, Steven?
No.
I mean, you read mini comics for the POTU, right?
That's right. Reading those. So. Always. But no, nothing else. However, you got anything?
You know, I'm wrapping up, I think it's trade 4 of Clean Room, and that's, you know, we've talked about that 100 times. I am excited, though, because yesterday, Walking Dead Trade 29 came in, so I've got 4 issues of that to read. I'm excited because for those of you people that are ignorant and only watch the show and think it's the coolest thing ever, you're totally missing the bus on an incredible comic, and it's at a very large turning point right now in the comic. It's just really cool. Really anxious to see what happens. So Kirkman's still keeping me interested there. So
awesome.
But
so also we are planning something for our 100th episode.
Yes, we are.
We don't have an exact date yet. I'd probably waiting on me because I said I'd get back to you guys and I never did. But we're going to nail that down. We'll let everybody know when that is. And that will be our 100th episode. We are on episode 98. This is not 99. This is the Thursday night special.
Thursday night special.
So, but when we have our 100th episode, it'll be on that date. And we're going to do some special things. It's going to be fun. And we're going to try to make it special and, make it kind of big. 100 episodes is funny. I never thought we would even get... I mean, I shouldn't say that. I never thought it would come this quickly. I kind of thought we'd make it to 100.
I can't believe that it's been 2.5 years.
Yeah.
You know, 100 episodes in, 200 weeks. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You know.
And so we've done
numerous,
many more. And, so
year in review episodes. And yeah, we've done a lot of additional content as well. So
yeah, we're excited about that. Are you even aware that, because I was not, that's why I'm saying it like this. Okay. I just happened to stumble upon it, and usually I know these things are coming. Were you even aware that Jessica Jones season 2 is out?
Yes, as a matter of fact, but only because I jumped on to start watching Altered Carbon. And I was like, what, Jessica Jones? So I was hoping to dig into that.
Did you start watching Altered
Carbon? I did.
How many episodes?
Just one.
Okay, so just you're one. I'm about 1.5.
Okay. Let's talk about Altered Carbon. That's on my list.
All right.
Initial knee jerk, one episode. What do you think? Can you keep watching it?
I would like to keep watching it at this point. It's got enough to keep me going. It's confusing as hell in the beginning. It's one of those things I thought about. I don't know if it's quite halfway. I had that aha moment.
Yep. Yep.
You
kind of start to understand. Things come in snippets kind of at first.
Yeah.
I will say this is based off of just a quick reading, based off of a steampunk style novel that was written. I don't remember the author. Shame on me. But I was excited to start watching it, and I had put it off because I had so many other things I was watching. People started to say, best show I've ever watched. When people start talking like that, I tend to start listening a little bit. I will tell you that I turned it on, and I see the main character, and I instantly get pissed. Instantly get pissed. The main character, as you guys know, plays Rick Flagg in Suicide Squad. And if you guys remember, if you've been a dedicated listener, you listened to the review on Suicide Squad, and you heard me say how much I didn't like him, and you also heard me say that I didn't like him. He was one of the main characters in The Killing. And I just despised him on there, because here's this white guy who talks ghetto, and that drives me crazy, and he just bothered me on there. Just bothered me. And I will say that I have to give absolute props to the actor, and shame on me for not remembering his name, because 20 minutes into the episode, I love him. I think he's just doing a great job, but he doesn't have that candor I didn't like him in those roles. So it turns out I didn't not like him as an actor. I just didn't like him the way they were portraying him.
Yeah.
But I think this so far, I think I'm intrigued by it. It's hard, and we've said it 1,000 times. Good luck trying to wow us with an original idea. You know, because they're just hard to come by anymore, you know. And what you get a lot of times now, some of the best shows that are out there that are non-original, people are just building a better mousetrap, if you will. And it's kind of a rehash of the old whatever. I've never seen anything like this. And maybe that's because I'm not into sci-fi like some people are, but the whole idea of, give you guys the concept, and it's right in the description. There's no spoilers here of, you essentially have a stack, and it's a disc that's in your spinal cord, and unless it gets destroyed, you don't die. And so if something happens to your sleeve or the body that you're in, they just insert it into a new sleeve, and you go on living. Well, it's a cool concept to me. And there's a moment in the very first episode, again, I've only seen the one where they talk about how sleeves get redistributed. And they give you an idea of how, well, something unfortunate happened to you, so you just get a sleeve that the state had laying around.
Yes.
You know?
You get what's in stock.
Yes, you get what's in stock.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it's a moment where you go, what the? Holy shit! You know? So the visual effects are very good. It appears to me to be heavy green screen, I would assume.
I'm sure.
But you don't get the feel of that. You know, some of these things you see that are a lot of green screen, you're like, oh, God, you know, it doesn't have that vibe. There's good depth to it.
Yeah.
So, check out Altered Carbon. Like I said, I'm going to keep watching it for sure and kind of see where it goes. And I'm sure that you guys will hear more about it from us. I think Trav's either done with the season or at least quite a few episodes in.
So, yeah.
Jessica Jones looking like it's potentially... Some origin backstory stuff, just reading the kind of the description, the trailer stuff. So
I watched a little bit of the first episode and I had to shut it off for time. It was one of those deals. I was flipping through Netflix and I just saw it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's out. I didn't even know that was coming. Right. And
well, they just released a Luke Cage teaser.
Yeah, I saw that.
Ago,
yeah.
And I can't believe I missed the Jessica Jones teaser or the Jessica Jones trailer or, you know, I found it funny that I happened to catch a Luke Cage teaser, but I didn't catch anything for Jessica Jones. So
we'll keep the listeners updated when we kind of get caught up. Excuse me. get Trav back and,
I went and saw Black Panther today again.
I saw that.
Yeah. Took Pearson out of school.
How was it to see it? Like, you know, where you can see the screen at once because you weren't like 4 foot away from it.
Yeah, so I went with my 7-year-old son. Where do you suppose we sat, Steven?
No.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yep. Seriously. Yep. Right in the recliners.
Why didn't you tell your son no?
Well, because it was kind of a thing, and we got there, and ironically enough, I took my youngest daughter to grandma's house because she doesn't do well in movies because she's 3 and she's an absolute monster. My wife's cousin was there dropping off her youngest daughter because she was taking her son to see the movie at the same time at the same place. And Declan is his name. It's one of Pearson's little buddies. You know, essentially it's a second cousin, whatever, but they hang out. So we were the only 4 in the theater, which was kind of cool. You know what I mean? So, but he really liked it. There was a few spots where you lost him because it's complicated. I mean, there's some heavy backstory. There's some things that... but it was just as good as the first time. It was just as emotional as the first time, for me at least. But it was very good, and he was very excited to see it. And so he's also very excited he didn't have to go to the dentist, which is what I told him in front of the office ladies at the school that we were doing. So then when he found out it was Black Panther, not the dentist, he was over the moon. So
wow. I'm going to call the school.
Do it.
I'm going to let them know.
Do it. So.
All right.
This weekend, our good friends Gavin and Dina that own Tardy's Collector's Corners in Grand Rapids are having a fun sale Friday night and Saturday.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm going down Friday night for that comedy show. I'm going to try to swing in and say hello.
Awesome.
See if I can't get my hands on something. So if you're in the Grand Rapids area and you hear this before Friday or Saturday, swing down and see those guys. If you can't get down there to see them, come see them at MuskieCon. They're going to be there set up. They've always got cool stuff in their booth. So.
Yes. Gavin rocks.
Yeah. Good people. Good people.
So. All right. Well, I think we're going to probably call this quits. I know it was a weird one.
I got a top 10.
Oh, you do? Wow. Oh, my gosh.
So
was not expecting
it's
that.
It's not going to be nearly as funny, I think. I try to... My top 10s are supposed to be humorous. You know what I mean? But I don't think that this one's going to be as humorous. But I kind of wanted to run this by you and see if you wanted anything to add. And I wrote the top 10 reasons why Toys R Us is closing. So... and again, not nearly as probably as funny, but it's just stuff that we've talked about. In no particular order, the guys who intentionally buy mismatched price items when they're put in the wrong spot, and they slowly bring down the monarchy that is Toys R Us.
Yeah.
So, you know, DeLoreans and what have you, buying them for half price because they're dishonest.
Right.
So
there's that, which, when Toys R Us has rules like that,
right?
I don't understand, but okay.
Never having what we want.
That would help.
That could be part of the reason they're closing, yeah. Is them never having anything for me to buy.
Yeah.
So, scalpers. You think scalpers affected it?
No.
Going in and wiping out stuff and then turn around and flipping it on the market? So
I don't know, because they're buying the stuff.
Right.
Does it matter?
But maybe I'm thinking, looking too far into this, okay? Steven, you want it, you keep going to Toys R Us, you keep going, and they're not, it's not there. Right. Well, when you went to get that Darth Vader 6-inch Black Series, you also grabbed a Joe, you also grabbed this, you grabbed a thing of Legos, you kind of, maybe you bought more, maybe you picked up a video game, you noticed something on clearance, you picked it up, whatever, and then eventually, you know, you keep going, they don't have what you want, so you stop going. You know, so I mean, there could be a correlation.
There could be, yeah.
You know, people just not going anymore.
I see where you're going with that.
But you're absolutely right. The product got bought. They don't freaking care who bought it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because they made their money. You know, mm-hmm. So the employees selling out the back door.
Mm.
You know, that could be another case of, though, if they were selling them at retail value, then that essentially wouldn't affect sales,
mm-hmm.
But that could also speak to the product not being available, you know. never stocking Joe's. That hits home for me. I wanted Joe's.
You wanted Joe's.
You know, and...
You were just too late. You were just too late, Pete. Right.
Having 8-year-old Marvel Legends at full price.
that'll do it. Right. I totally agree with that.
People stealing individual pieces from packages.
I was going to mention that. That would have been one I was going to add.
You know,
when you take the piece out and then you put it back, or you stick a different figure in the wrong packaging, or you cut the bath piece out, all that crap.
Or just the Ghostbuster goggles or something that you wanted weird,
yes.
Which we know is an adult customizer, because who the hell else would want those?
Yes.
The retail price of Legos. What can you honestly say of any toy line, okay, that's available on shelves that you go to a store to buy, that routinely has 6 to 8 pieces that are above $80? Not one toy line does that other than Legos. Not one.
Yeah.
I mean, and we've talked about this before. Legos is lights out, man. They don't have any employees. Like, they're not. There's no overhead there. It's all computer controlled robots with one guy sitting in a control room.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why it's so expensive for Legos.
So, because people are buying it,
and it's crazy.
It's like the most successful toy line, out there.
Yeah, and I get it. They're cool, you know. But yeah. The number one reason, Steven, do you have anything to add before I go to number one? Please do.
Not having any Star Wars stuff at your Star Wars night. When you have posters and you're putting it on the radio, come to Force Friday, and you go there and you're like, hey, this is going to be so great. Let's celebrate Star Wars. And you don't have any Star Wars. Yeah, that's not good. And I wonder what your number one is, because I think I have the number one.
Oh, you hit me with your number one.
My number one is...
First off, before you say your number one,
yeah,
your edition of the Force Friday actually brought me to 10. I only had 9, so thank you for that. So, hit me with your number one, Steven.
My number one is kids nowadays, little kids and their stupid devices that never play with toys anymore. More so than the collector and everybody else that would have been helping to fuel Toys R Us and us guys that go there and look for our collectibles. Kids are just not playing with toys. And that is what I really think is the big kicker.
Yep. And then you throw in the online industry of people being able to get the stuff that their kids want, just shipped to the door. So now you've taken that market. A lot of them aren't playing with toys. The few that are playing with toys, you're grabbing off the internet. I think you're 100% right. I can honestly say that legitimately, that is probably one of the biggest reasons is kids are on their devices, they're on their electronics, and they're not playing with toys.
Nope, they're not. They're not. They're not being creative. They're not interacting with each other. I mean, they are over a device all the time,
right.
But they're not actually in the same space, making eye contact, right. We're gonna have a generation of weird little bastards.
Oh shit! It's somebody that can sit in a room with four other people and communicate with them for 4 hours and never say anything.
My daughter,
you know, and not know how to order food at McDonald's.
Exactly, know? They're freaking crazy. My daughter, 13 years old, she's having there's a boy that lives in our neighborhood. They've grown up together. He lives just a couple houses down. Katie, so they're getting to this age where Katie has her friends, and they're the same age. He has his friends. So he's having a sleepover this Saturday night with a bunch of his buddies. Katie's having a bunch of her friends sleepover, too. So they're going to have a bunch of kids that are in the same grade, a couple houses from each other.
And is this the one you share your back fence with, that boy?
No, it is not.
Okay.
But
because that boy's actually like stayed the night at your house, hasn't he?
Yeah. Okay. No, this is a different kid.
Okay.
So Katie asked, can I have a couple, you know, for a little while, can some of the boys come over and we can just hang out downstairs and play Let's Dance and all this? Well, actually, that isn't how this went. Can they come over? And I said, and Courtney said yes. So tonight I'm talking to Katie and I'm like, hey, you're going to have some friends over, huh? She's like, yeah. And she's like, I'm like, you gonna have some boys over? Yeah. Okay, what are you guys gonna do? You know what her answer was? I don't know, play on our devices.
Ah, nice.
So then after I pushed her on that, I was like, you're gonna play on your damn device. Then she did bring up play Let's Dance on the Wii, or the, not the Wii, the Switch. But I'm like, seriously, that was the first thing out of her head without even thinking, we're gonna play on our devices. Well, they can stay home and you can do that.
We're all going to sit in the basement. But we're in the same Minecraft world, Dad.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
I had a proud moment with my daughter as well before I get to the number one. I've spoken about her boyfriend on the show before, and that was new for us. You know, she's 15. They dated for about 6 months. Last Friday, he broke up with her. And then within 12 hours, was trying to, you know, get her back. I made a mistake, blah, blah, whatever. And I said, I texted her because I wasn't going to get too involved. I just, hey, you doing okay? So I wanted to make sure that she was dealing with the breakup all right. I knew she was, but just, you know, trying to be a good dad. Yeah, I'm good. I said, okay. I said, sounds like he's trying to get you back. Yeah, but I did the ladylike thing and I told him to F off. And I just literally, like, how do I slow clap through the phone right now? You know what I mean? She's been so gallant in all of it. And she's just, Dad, I don't have time for that kind of drama. I've got other things to do. Like, this is stupid. And why for 1 second would I want to be with somebody who had to get rid of me to then realize he needed me? And I was like, how old are you? Like, what the hell is your problem? Are you 40? So.
Nice.
But cool. So I wholeheartedly agree with your number one, Steven. And I think that probably is the real one, the one designed just for comic relief. I believe the downfall has been the combination of Toys R Us and Babies R Us. Was just further proves that babies ruin everything that we love.
So, amen. They do. They ruin everything. I should have that talk with my daughter soon.
Babies ruin everything. You know what I'll do? You let me know one night that she's going to be home, doesn't have plans, and I'll just be like, hey, we're going out to dinner with the McCarthys. You're going to watch Piper. Yep. And then just let her chase Piper around.
Here's a question before we go. You know what I mean? Does Piper ever wear clothes at home?
It's pretty rare. It is pretty rare.
Every snap I see, the kid is naked.
She does not like clothes at all. And you know, it's kind of my fault. I'm that guy that I get home and it's like I take my pants off and a lot of times I take my shirt off and I just lounge around. We don't, because of our busy lifestyle, we don't get people that just stop by. You know what I mean? Like when I was growing up, like, my dad's friends would just randomly stop by to chat. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. People just stop by to visit. I mean, later in life, I realized he was selling them all dope. But that's neither here nor there. So it was like, you know, but we don't have that kind of a lifestyle. We're going and coming and all this stuff all the time. That when I'm home, I can just let it all hang out, you know. So it's my fault. I mean, literally, by the time she was one, we'd get home and she'd look at me and say, pants off, dance off. And because I taught her that's what we do when we get home. Pants off, dance off. You know? So, but she's naked all the time. So, but right. She is fighting potty training, which is always interesting too. So,
oh yeah, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
No.
Well, awesome. We're wrapping up the Thursday night special of the My Wife Is Gonna Kill Me podcast. We are sans Travis Bowles tonight because he was just doing his due diligence. So we got your back, Trav. We know you were with us here in spirit. Well, you kind of were, but you weren't, but you were kind of, you know, I mean, it's all good. Yeah, you know, it's, you know, it is. We're not mad that you missed it, but we're happy. We're kind of, you know, and so what? So, Tardy's Collector's Corners this weekend. Go check them out. Say hi to those guys. Come out and see us, MuskegonCon next weekend, version 2.0 at the Holiday Inn on 3rd Street in Muskegon. It's going to be a good time, I think, and I'm really looking forward to it. 10 to 6 that Saturday. So come on in, say hello, and see what all the great vendors have to offer. And, yeah. So with that, we're going to wrap it up. For your host, Stephen Bisciotti, remember, please, check out Matthew Rodriguez's Kickstarter. Even if you're not a fan of comics, if you are a fan of the American Dream, spend $5 and support that Kickstarter. He's got a lot of time and energy into it. He's obviously, you know, a failed Kickstarter. He's met some closed doors, but he's persevered. And I just, again, I applaud him for making that dream come true. The same way I applauded Steven when he said, hey, I'm going to vend art at this show. Well, it's about time. You're a talented guy. Show the world, you know. And with Travis, when he... Yeah, Travis isn't good at shit. That's a terrible example. So... But again, guys, check it out, Kickstarter, Defenders of Eden, issue number 1. And remember, if you are a listener, get on there, spend $1. Screenshot that you backed it. Message us at the My Wife Is Gonna Kill Me page. We're gonna come up with something fun. Matt had some good ideas. We'll come up with some things to add to that as well. The My Wife Is Gonna Kill Me podcast crew, we fully support him, not only as a friend of the show, but a fellow creative mind. You know, obviously he runs Tulip City Comic and Toy Fair. So he's all in this world, and he's doing what he can to provide a place for you to congregate and to buy and sell your stuff. He's kind of trying to create a world for you to sit down on the crapper and crack something open and transport to a fantasy world and read about some characters. So good luck to him. Again, he's already got it backed, but let's see how far we can push him. Steven, have you backed Matthew yet?
Oh, yeah.
Have you?
Okay. Yeah.
I have not. Truth be told, I was kind of waiting to see. I figured he was going to get it, but if it came down to, you know, buzz time and he needed $30, I might have sprung an extra $20 or something, and, you know, to make it happen. But I'm definitely going to get in, and like I said, I'm going to participate in that for sure. He'll be back on, and as soon as we get, you know, obviously copies in our hands, we'll be reading them and sharing them and all that good stuff too. So
perfect.
Thursday night special. Head home, have some macaroni and cheese and hot dogs. One box has got to be Meyer brand. 3 Eckridge bun size. They got to be Eckridge bun size. They got to be cut the long way twice, and then they got to be diced to make sure you get the appropriate ratio of hot dog to macaroni in your mouth. Hit it with the pepper, stir it. Hit it with the pepper, stir it. One last splash of pepper, and you're good to go. Tall glass of ice cold milk. That's where I'm headed. Again, Steve Bisciotti, Pete McCarthy. And until next time, we will see you guys in the vacant parking lot of Toys R Us.
Jesus.
Baby.